It feels like the market's really bad because we're not at all-time highs, I guess. But that's not really true. I think it was frustrating news this week. The president is way behind in the polls, and the president isn't seeming to lead, give us all a reason to be excited that the polls are wrong, that he is going to make a strong case for why he needs four more years, and that we can't possibly have this progressive nonsense. COVID cases are spiking in the South. Are we going to be able to reopen? Is that going to happen here? Are they spiking? Aren't they already spiking here, you might ask? And the answer is no, not like they are down in the South. And not everywhere. Not everywhere at all. Most of it is explained away, and I think that's important to understand. Explained away how? Well, it appears to be in Arizona, mostly. It is huddled near the border, where that's really exploded. We have lots of explanation for Florida. We had huge demonstrations there and an outbreak. Texas, of course, same thing. But it doesn't mean we're going to close back up. And I think that's important to understand. From an economic perspective, are we really going to? Were the Republican states wrong? Does that make Cuomo releasing COVID patients into nursing homes correct? No. Keeping everything shut down up in the north outside of New York City. No, it doesn't make them right. I think it's odd when governors, for political reasons or whatever, go out and, you know, are really happy that a place like Florida has people dying. I think that's weird behavior, but we're in a weird world, and it's an upside-down world. And that makes it very hard for us. I mean, all of us. When everything, when right is wrong, and wrong is right, when burning things is fine, but gathering at church is wrong. It's a weird world. When governors are happy to see other states having people die, it's weird. When a guy who is running for president can't put a sentence together and just stays in the basement so that people don't recognize he can't put a sentence together, I don't know. It's a weird world. It's a weird world. When we have a Senate that decides that we do not want to even talk about police reform. Why? Because we think we might come to some terms. We're afraid that we would actually do something. We want something productive, right? We don't want anything done because then we can go ahead and pass an absurdity that nobody else is going to agree to, but then we can campaign on it. It's evil to not solve problems. It's evil to keep charter schools closed or try to close them and have inferior public schools. Why? So we answer to the teachers' union. It's absurd. It's an upside-down world. We got to figure out how to get kids back in school. I get it. It's angry. It's really frustrating. And has very little to do with investing. Really does. That's where it's hard. It's really tough to put this together. Like, how can COVID cases be spiking and the NASDAQ is hitting all-time highs? How can the president be dropping in the polls to a guy that wants to raise taxes, destroy business, and literally destroy the country? We even now know what they want to do, right? The District of Columbia, it passed. They want it to be a state. Why not Puerto Rico? This way we can have four more senators that are guaranteed to be liberal. Perfect. Is there any reason for them to have statehood? Of course not. guarantee it'll happen if they win the Senate. And the presidency, obviously. And, of course, we are making the assumption they're going to win the House. But, of course, if they win the Senate, there's no question they're going to keep the House. It's hard. It's a tough time. It's a tough time not to look forward and say, there's no way the market's not going to crash. I completely agree with that. It looks frightening. And these are the types of times where you have to look back and say, you know what? It looked frightening a month ago when it was lower than it is today. It's important to look back and say what can also go right, not just what can go wrong. That's easy. Open up the newspaper, got it. Watch the news, got it. You know everything that can go wrong. Over and over and over and over again. And that's not enough. So let's go ahead and switch channels and hear some more. It's constant. And it's not a positive drumbeat. Now, it doesn't mean you sit around and Pollyannish go, it doesn't matter if Biden is elected president. It doesn't matter if we have far, far left policies that destroy the country. Of course it matters. It's an upside down world. I get it. It's totally weird. It's totally weird that these companies, for example, the tech companies, are super libs. It makes no sense. The progressives will destroy them. Look at Europe. They hate Google. They hate him. They fine him every single year. Every year. Nope, you owe us $5 billion. Because you're awful. They don't like him. So we want more of that here? It makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's upside down. But it's what is going on. We think. I don't think you want to assume that you're so smart. Because if we forget that what you know isn't worth knowing, me, what I know isn't worth knowing. Whoa, but I'm a smart dude. We have to understand that markets are not dumb. It's full of real people making real bets with their real money. It's their job. They're not answering a poll or a survey. They're putting money and their jobs on the line with these decisions. It's not a game. And the markets are screaming, what else do I do to get a return? Cash earns nothing. Now, you're a state pension and you need to earn 7%. Most of them say 8, but they're not going to make 8. They can't make 8. They probably can't make 7. They just lie about it because it makes the deficit look less. They underfund their pensions as a routine part of their life. Just ask Illinois. So you have these this pension, and it has to earn, let's call it 7. And you're going to have how much cash because you're worried about what? How much cash can you have? All of it? I think not. Let's go ahead and go before the pension committee, the fiduciaries, the experts that have lots of questions for the people managing the money. Your sleeve of money is in cash. Well, how are we going to hit the 7% target, Mr. Smith? Well, let me have Mrs. Jones answer that for you. She's part of our investment committee. the answer is, okay, thank you very much, you're fired. You can't just sit on cash. Well, we're really afraid of fill in the blank. Yeah, I read the newspapers last night. I watched the news last night. Yeah, so we're really afraid of, and then you can throw out some terms. P/E ratios are too high. Whatever. You're fired. So you have this circumstance where you have to say, this is trillions of dollars alone in pensions. If you, as an individual, go, well, I don't care. I would rather earn nothing than lose money. I know. I'm just filling in what you already said. I know that. Well, I'd rather have something than nothing or whatever. I'd rather earn nothing than lose money. Okay. Because that's how we see it. Market has to go down, even though you've been saying that for thousands of points. I mean, I was watching and the experts said, I know what the experts have been saying for thousands of points. I know, it's weird, but I also watch the Wall Street. I read the Wall Street Journal. It's so weird. What we know isn't worth knowing because everybody already knows it. It's priced in. In the second hour, I really want to talk about this, about the markets and thinking forward, looking forward. Because all we see is bad news. And we extrapolate that the market has to go down. Why is the market up? What are they doing, some super levitation trick? No. They're not. It's real money coming in. Well, but I heard all these guys are, I know. And those guys have been very wrong. Markets are going to have hiccups for sure. What, it was a Tuesday? We hit an all-time high in the NASDAQ. All-time. All-time high. Tuesday. But it didn't feel like a very good week, did it? Just doesn't. Because the news is so bad. All right, I got to take a quick break. Got to. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll get to more of this in the second hour today. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And we're going to be talking in the second hour, like I said. We're kind of coming up against it here. We'll get to Jim here just in 1 second. But I do want to talk more about this, about not just how news affects us, but how we get it so wrong and what drives markets, right? Movement of money. It moves around. And we have to sometimes think of the bigger picture. Where is that money going to go, if not into stocks? Where is it going to be treated well? We just missed that. All right, we'll talk about that in the second hour. Hope you'll stick around. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I've got some bonds, I guess. They're cashing out bonds. They figure 4% is a tad bit high. So I'm going to be sitting with a bunch of cash, and I presume that the equity is pretty much the only way to go. So put in a buy order low and then wait, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing, and we were talking about education and everything. Now, to me, the big tragedy is the schools, right? Even high schools, colleges. All they are now are brick and mortar. They're just like the malls, and they've turned into nothing but overhead. And like you say, I mean, you know, it is sad when, you know, we used to think they were for education. No, they're for football. And if you don't have football, you're up a creek. I mean, that is a sad situation. So, mm-hmm. You know, and people need to go. I think being on a campus, now I went to college when you could actually afford it. But being on campus was a tremendous experience. It was a great experience, and that's gone, and that is sad.
That's true. I think, and I do think that there's a place for it, and I certainly think that we have found this experiment, certainly with young children, it is a disaster to have them at home. If we don't get these kids in school, and I can hear the next call, the rallying cry, we can't let the schools open in the fall. And some states may choose to do that. And if I was living in those states, I would move and get my kid in school because it's a disaster. Can you imagine? I mean, I barely got through third grade. I barely got through fifth grade. I barely got through sixth grade. And I had to go to summer school. If I'd have missed any amount of time, I would have been held back. Had to have been. And it's just I'm not alone. I mean, I know kids are acting up. I know kids are struggling out there because they need that social contact. And it's very frustrating to me that we shut the schools in the first place. The kids are fine, and with this disease, but I can hear the cries now. So I'm concerned.
Well, that's true, and you know, the herd immunity and everything. Why punish everybody? It's a circle of life. Some people are going to die, you know. Even though the medical establishment does everything in their freaking power to try to keep everybody alive, even if their brain did. But then there's also the cooking of the books. You know, somebody died in a car accident. Well, the guy had coronavirus, so chalk it up to that.
Yeah. No, so, it's true. You know. All right, Jim, will you hear the music? We're out of here. Have a great rest of the week. Weekend, I guess. All right, we're going to talk, like I said, we're going to talk about this, how it affects us, and not just that. Where do you start seeing some of the data that is actually real? It's not all bad out there. It really isn't. And you can't have it both ways. Open up. Oh, no, now we're all going to die. And you hear people talking about that all the time. We'll be back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. None of that. And I mean it. You know, it's something that we were sitting here on last week. We've had to have this new bunch of rules. I mean, it's a pile of stuff. I mean, a pile. It's called Reg BI, Best Interest. And actually, you know, most of the rules are, I think, really good. Right, it's trying to tie together in our industry the fiduciary responsibility that we have to our clients as a certified financial planner must have a fiduciary, has a fiduciary responsibility to clients. And also, of course, being a registered investment advisory firm, we have to do that too. And what that means is big word for we have to do what's right for the client no matter what, even if it isn't the best paying thing for us. And what that really means is it doesn't really make any difference. Just to understand it, I've had this question so many times in the past little bit because this massive pile of paper goes out. Well, what do you mean if you receive commissions and that? Well, we don't. So there's really a couple different branches, and it's important to understand how that works. There's a couple different branches out there, but the whole world is going towards fee-based planning, right? You pay a fee, doesn't matter what you do, there are no commissions, and now trading is free, mostly, right? I mean, there's a few things. Bonds still have fees, big ones actually on bonds. You know, there are some fees out there, some mutual funds do, but there are no commissions. But there's still a commission group out there that operates in that world, and there's confusion. But now this Reg BI is trying to make that commission part, those folks that are not registered investment advisors, comply with some of the rules that apply to registered investment advisors, most of them. But bottom line is, I think you ask somebody always, do you have a fiduciary? Or is our relationship a fiduciary relationship? Because that means it's legally, as well as morally, that you must do only the right thing for clients. And then we get off in another space, which is the insurance space, which I absolutely, you've heard me, I won't go off, that really has no rules of engagement. They are getting there. There's getting to be more rules in advertising, at least. That passed the legislature. It has not been written yet. That's obvious by looking at people's websites. You know, oh, it got quoted on Fox News. No, you didn't. News press. We're news press to them. I can send a news press to anybody, right? So it's constant. None of that can go on in a fiduciary role. None of it. None of it. I mean, you can't, because you can't receive 10% commissions for selling an annuity to somebody. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. Not in a fiduciary role. So everybody's getting all this paper in, and it's very confusing, and it is. It's super confusing. But in a sense, it's coming together. But understand the difference in the rules. It's important. A fiduciary responsibility means legally a person is bound to do only what's right for you and not receive commissions. It's not a hard thing. Working on a fee basis. That's what a fiduciary responsibility is. And for those folks that have been getting piles of paper in the OR, either emailed to you, and then you can just delete it, and that's great. Or if you choose to read it, it's confusing. And it's a confusing bunch of paper, as any government document is. But that's the world. And it is slowly moving in the right direction, though, right? Slowly it's moving in the right direction of a fiduciary responsibility for all. It's just not true in the annuity world, and I'm sorry about that. I really am sorry about that. I don't get it. I don't get how insurance departments think it's okay to have people drop licenses where they are required to have a fiduciary responsibility, where disclosures are required. And the reason that they don't carry those licenses is simple. Now I don't have any rules that apply to me. I can tell people anything. I can pretend that I don't make 10% commission. I can pretend I don't get paid. Or it's just the insurance company. It's not really you. It's not really you. Where we would have to disclose all those things. But that's the world we're in right now. So be careful out there. Don't talk to insurance agents. That's unfortunately the thing. If they're licensed, I'm an insurance agent. I have a license. Okay? But it's not the only license that I have. Therefore, I have requirements with the other licenses. For disclosure, fiduciary responsibility, all the above. In all actions. Not like, let me take my hat off here. Now I can tell you anything. Right? You can't do that. They flow over. So I'm not saying don't talk to people that have insurance licenses. Have multiple licenses. That have a fiduciary responsibility. I don't know why the world is that way. It's weird to me. It's so weird. Massive necessary disclosure. And I know it's an overreach. The amount of paper people get, the way it's written, it's hard to understand. I get it. But it's attempts. It's an attempt at having a place for people to go. So if you have questions about it, you can call us. Those of you who are clients of ours, call your advisors if you're not. If you're just confused by all this paper. Because it is confusing. And if you don't know how your advisor works, ask. You need to know. You need to know. Do you have a fiduciary responsibility? And now they can say, well, of course we have a fiduciary responsibility to you. That might be a lie. It might. But you can certainly find out. Do they operate on a fee basis or not? Is there a commission on the products or not? Simple. All right. I want to talk some more about all of this negativity. No, I'm not an epidemiologist. Why does everybody have to say that? Okay. The epidemiologists have been wrong about the coronavirus. The experts have been wrong about the coronavirus. Well, but, you know, they're discovering stuff. I get it, right. Like, University of Washington now says, well, who cares what the University of Washington? They haven't gotten one thing right.
But their university and they're, like, tenured professors and, like, they got big initials after their name. They've got doctorates, and so they study viruses, and so they know stuff.
No, they don't. Clearly, they don't. And I think it's healthy for us to go, I don't know. None of us knows. This is a wacky, weird thing, and we're in a wacky, weird world where instead of talking about viruses, we talk in terms of politics.
Well, this state's getting it wrong. That state's getting it right. It's the blue governors that are really screwing.
You know what? They couldn't be happier that the red states, some of them, not all, that have opened up, that have freedom as part of their actual description in the United States of America. They believe in it. They don't believe in trying to make a difference between wet sand and dry sand, but it's science that you should be on only the wet sand. We only think about science. And that guy with his dog or that surfer, we've got to arrest them. Bad, bad, bad people. No, but protesters, nonsense. They shouldn't even be wearing masks because the virus will avoid them. But we only embed ourselves in science. Nobody knows. It's all politics, all weird. It's so frustrating. But let's just look at it and think about it from some of the data, okay? The death rate, which is really the only thing that matters because this is going to keep spreading. It's the only thing in my mind that matters. Yeah, we're told we need to flatten the curve. We're not going to get rid of the virus. So we flattened the curve months ago. Now we can't reopen. Okay, so we did that, but that isn't actually what we need to do, apparently. Are we going to kill the virus? No, we're not. Is it going to come back in the second wave? I don't know, but everybody's sure. Yeah, oh yeah, it's coming back. We got to, ooh, yeah, for sure. Nobody knows. We don't know. We really don't know. Are we going to get the herd immunized? I mean, are we going to get that? I don't know. How many people do we have to have? Is it 30%? Is it 50% before we have it? How many people have gotten it? We don't know yet. Just saw an article in the Wall Street Journal. 22% is what they were saying in some places. New York City. Wow. That's a lot bigger number than we thought. Isn't it? Doesn't make it right. They're still trying to run tests and figure it out. We don't know. I do know there's 250 companies out there spending billions. I mean, literally billions of dollars. Vast collaboration to come up with everything from a vaccine to therapies. And we're making progress. Fast. And when we think about all this, there's an outbreak, and that's all we see in the news. They're shutting down again. I'm in the liberal media. I love it because I hate Texas. I hate the free people of Florida. I want them all bottled up. So they can't wait to talk about it. Do they talk about, like in the same sentences, do they often talk about the fact? Look, this is anecdotal. It's only Idaho. What was it? 6 weeks, it went from like 84 to 90 deaths. I know every death is important. I get that, okay? So are the deaths of people that commit suicide from spending too much time in their basement, not getting the therapies they need because they're afraid to go to the doctor, and you know the whole list of things. It's all important. But if we're going to talk about the numbers, we're going to talk about the market and how it affects people's thinking and investments, we have to think clearly about the big picture, not the minutia. Yes, we have expanding cases, but we're learning how to treat it. And in my mind, the market's telling us this. We're learning to live with it. Whatever it is, whether it comes back for a second wave or the third wave, or is it the fifth wave? Is it the 10th wave? I don't know. Make it up, because it doesn't make any difference. If you just talk about waves, you're never really wrong. You just say, never accountable. But it affects us when we go to invest our dollars. When we are so fearful, when we are believing that everything is going to get shut down again, that we'll never travel, businesses will never open up again, and every month that goes by, we do destroy millions more small businesses forever. I don't believe we're going back. And I think that's what the market's telling you. We are going to keep opening up. Whether it means you wear masks or not, it's just not even an important question. That's just being stupid. It's all about wearing masks. It's not about or I want the freedom. Fine. In your backyard or what have you. But if we're in groups and that's what is determined needs to happen, then that's going to happen. If I have to wear a mask to get on an airplane to go see my grandkids, sign me up. I'll wear one. That's what the rules are. If you have a store like Costco does, it says you have to wear a mask in our stores. You don't want to go to Costco? Don't. But if you want to go to Costco, you got to play by their rules. It's just, I get it. I don't like wearing a mask, and I don't. I'm one of those. But if that's the direction we're going, that's what we're going to do. If places are hot spots, but they're not going to shut down. We're not locking down again. I just don't believe that. And I think that we have to stop and say that there are lots of dollars chasing after stocks of the great corporations of the world. Well, the market was really bad, really rough last week, and it's a little volatile, and it scares me. Of course it does. It did that in 2000 through 02, 9/11. It does this periodically. This isn't new. What we have is a wraparound of a virus and politics and weirdness because the world is upside down, but it's not new. It's been upside down for a long time. A long time. We let prisoners out because we're worried about the coronavirus. We have no bail policies in cities. We're going to disband the police force in Minneapolis. And other places are trying. We just have people take over six blocks in Seattle. It's a summer of love. It is upside down. It's crazy. Is this the world we think is really in going to be voted for this fall? I don't know. The market's telling you no. The market's telling you no. I'm not saying the market's going to be right. But before you decide, we all decide. I'm smarter than this. I know what's going to happen. I've been watching the analysts. The analysts that have had you out since 18,000 on the Dow. Those analysts. The guys that have been bears for 40 years. Which ones? Paul, what is his name? Not Rand. Rand is his son, right? Whatever. Ron Paul, right? I'm Ron Paul, and the world is going to end. I'm Ron Paul, 2000, when the world is going to end. I'm Ron Paul, 2005, and the world is going to end. I'm Ron Paul, and the world's going to end. It's just on and on. I sell ads. Here I am. Go see these people over here. Buy gold. Because the world is going to end. Plays well within this mix. Safe money of any kind plays well. When what? People are scared. They don't want to read the print. You are guaranteed over the next 10 years to make less than 2%. Best you can do. Why? Well, because you get market participation. Yeah, up to 2%. Huh? And when the market loses, you get none. Oh, that's great. Yeah, wow, that's great. So therefore, by definition, you are guaranteed, if you tie your money up for 10 years, that you will get less than 2%. Who would do that? Nobody would. It's insane. Nobody would do that because you can't even get out. You can't change your mind. So nobody would do that except all the bad news, all the turmoil. Nobody's going to vote for weird progressive policies, except we'll get no other choice. I don't want the president of chaos. I want Sleepy Joe. He doesn't even know what state he's in, so hey, I'm sure it'll be a more peaceful world. These things frighten us, and the market's telling us, cash flows are telling us, that, yeah, the market's volatile because the news is bad. but it's thinking forward. So be careful. I don't know what the market's going to do next week. I certainly don't. I never proclaim to know that. Do I? In over 30 years. I know what the market's going to do. I never get on here and say, hey, I told you guys the market was going to go up 30% this year. I told you Micron was going to be great. I told you Apple was good. No. Because we don't know. And as soon as you start running victory laps about how brilliant you are, life has a way of whacking you over the head pretty hard. It really does. It certainly does in my world. I'll bet it does in your world too. We don't know the future. But to ignore the fact that we're learning how to treat this, that there are 250 companies, probably more than that, but there are 250 active companies coming up with therapies, working together. Like never in all of history have we done this. Globally. Globally. To get after this thing. I think it's a big bet that we're not going to succeed. That's a big bet in my mind. Oh, well, it's a virus. It can mutate. Of course it can. And it will. And we'll have another one of these someday. I'm sure. But we've never had this kind of cooperation. And we're learning because that's what we do. And I really believe we're learning to live with this at different levels, in different places. And some really aren't political about this at all. Many aren't. I don't think Idaho's being political about their decision at all. I don't think most of the states are. They're doing their best. And that's one of the things we also have to take a step back. It's a weird time. It's upside down. But you don't know, and I don't know what the future is, what the best answer is. And the road that we ran down was to lock down. Okay? Now we're opening up. Okay? We're having another wave. As expected. As expected. Therapies are coming. Maybe even a vaccine. But most importantly, when people get it, they're not dying. Almost nobody is dying of this compared to what was happening a few months ago. That's huge. That's learning to live with it. All right, we got to take a quick break. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Are we have dead air? Is that right? We don't have dead air. Terry says, just another first world problem. I'll catch this week on the podcast. Dead air. Oh, on 580. That's true. That is true. I was going to say, what's the point of saying go to, you're right, 580 is dead right now. I should have mentioned that when I came in. 107.5 is alive. That's how we're getting out there. All right. At least it was. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Blah, blah, blah. All right. All right. Let me look at this. Hold it. Sorry. All right. I want to go back to this real quick. All bad news all the time equals I don't want to invest. It's true. People don't want to invest. They don't. I completely get that. I also get this urgency that says, I need to make a big decision. I need to get safe. What does that mean? Now, here's some of the things you have to be careful of. If you are saying, I want to be safe and I want all my money out, I say, why? That's a big bet. Market goes up most years, almost all 3 years periods, almost all 5 year, every single 30 year. You get the point. And it goes up 10% because you have to put up with bumps along the way. But even though all the greats tell you you can't time the market, you can because you got it figured out. Again, be careful. So if it's something that you are concerned, and I have no problem with this. Like, I need income. How many years' income do you want? What would make you feel safe? Don't take it all out of the market and then think you're going to get back in at a good time. Take a couple years out so you don't have to worry about the rest of it. It'll just earn and add to the pile. So if you take like 3 years out, normally with income, right, from your dividends and stuff like that, dividends and interest the portfolio has, that's like 5 years worth of income. That's a huge cushion, meaning you don't have to sell anything for the next 5 years. Nothing. Nothing. So if we kind of think of it in terms of segmenting, instead of trying to make an all or nothing call, life's a lot safer. If you need money anytime within a reasonably short period of time, a couple years, you should get it out now. You should have had it out in January. I'm not kidding. And you'd park it. Now, here's the other problem. Well, what about like the safest, blah, 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 right? Who would tie it up for 10 years? I mean, it makes no sense. Now I can't change my mind. I have no liquidity without massive penalties. So be careful, because if you want to get two, there are short duration exchange traded funds. I know all of a sudden I saw everybody's eyeballs roll back in their head. Just stab me when you talk like that. I get it, okay? But I have to phrase it that way and say this. You can trade for free on bunches of different, in fact, you could have government guaranteed short-term paper, okay? And you can go out and the market's open today. Boom, you're in. Boom, you're out. That's it. You don't need to tie it up for a long period of time. And when we're talking about short duration, that means it's like 3 to 6 months, very short term. What does that mean? If interest rates rise, you don't get crushed. That's what that means. That's the simplest way of putting it. We can go into a whole dissertation of duration, but I think nobody wants to hear that. It simply means if interest rates rise over the time, over a short period of time, your rate will rise too. If it go down, it'll go down. There's piles of them out there, and they're earning 2%. And you can say, oh, well, I really like on this part of my money. I was looking for a little bit of a pullback in the market. I got it, so I want to do it. Can you do that if your money's tied up for 10 years? The answer is no. You can't. And you're only earning 2%. That would be absurd. I mean, I can't even believe these things exist, to be honest with you. It makes no sense. They exist out of ignorance. That's what they exist out of. So there's no problem taking some money, a couple years, setting aside. Johnny's going to go to college. Sally's going to go get a doctorate degree in a couple years. Got it. Get that money out. It should have been out. What we don't want to do is when times are good, stocks are high, riding high, assume they'll keep going. Because something always happens. Well, Dave, this was a pandemic. Come on. I know. This was a tech bubble, Dave. This was a financial collapse. This was the worst stock market day. All of this has happened in my career. And much more has happened. Oh, the smartest people on the planet caused the market to collapse. They did. Funny, they have this super actively traded thing called, and the company's called Long-Term Capital, really. Poof. All kinds of stuff happens when things are going great. Out of nowhere. Always. So we always have to take it when we get it. And again, whether it's on the good side or the bad side, be careful about what you know, because it's not worth knowing. It's priced in. All right, we got to take a quick break here for Fox News. And when we come back, we'd love to hear from you. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I know it's if you're on the AM side, you don't hear us. I said, no, I don't know what to do. You can't really get the message out, you know. But if you finally figured that out and wanted to catch something from the first hour or hour and a half or whatever, I just got an email now. Is your show on? Yeah, it is on. It's on 107.5 and FM on the FM side. So sorry about that this morning, but once in a while, maintenance has to get done, and today was the day. So there you go. But anyway, we are out there and going, and if you want to join us, it's 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And again, we have a podcast, should be kicked out by Tuesday every week, okay? If you missed something and want to catch it. All right, we've been really hammering on this whole idea of watching too much news, and we do. And also in our own minds, thinking we can figure it out. And where I get that, I don't know why, but you just kind of write things down. I used to write down more. I don't know. It's such a good idea to write down these different rules and stuff, my 10 investment commandments. Look at them periodically. Think about them. It helps me to not make these mistakes. And I think the most important one is what you know isn't worth knowing. Because that's what starts the whole humility of thinking you have things figured out. You know what the future is going to be. And it really is dangerous when we don't have that humility. And understanding that markets price in their assumptions collectively. Absolutely nothing wrong with taking a contrarian stance. Oh, is that profitable? Oh, was that profitable for folks who buy every single time when the market takes a hit? I mean, pick a number. Down 10. I don't care if it goes down 25. You miss the bottom. Who cares? You got 10 down, which means you get 10 more as it goes up 10 every year the rest of your life. We miss it when we start thinking too much about it. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1 million in the S&P 500. So pull into Dutch Bros, Starbucks, and then tell me you really can't afford to put away $150 a month. Maybe someday you can. I mean, nobody says out loud, I don't want to educate my kids. I don't want to help them. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I don't want to have a retirement. I don't want that. I don't want to start my own business. No way. I want to talk about it, but I don't actually want to do it. I don't want to have personal freedom. I want to be enslaved to the man. But if we spend everything that comes in, that's exactly what we do. We don't help our kids get an education. We can't retire comfortably. We never, ever can start our own business. But it does then put you in a privileged position to go ahead and blame Wall Street, the rich bankers, how much your life sucks, how many things went wrong. We all have a list of them. Just go ahead and add to it and tell everybody about woe is me. That's why I don't have any money. It's important to understand that we don't know the future. But don't make it complicated either. This is an easy, easy thing to do, is to put a little bit of money away, stay out of debt, life is good. Thanks for tuning in. It's not buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. Oh, there's everything, the coronavirus is going to kill everybody. That's too easy. Scaring people is easy. Oh, well, you just want to have your money to be safe, don't you? Oh, I do. I just want to be safe. I don't want to be scared anymore. Then you just need to sign this here and get this over here, okay? Just do that. We'll just tie your money up for the next 10 years. Okay. That's what we do when we get scared. It's amazing to me, too, when we go through these periods, how many people are quick to go grab their statements when they're like 30 years from retirement. Who cares what your 401k is now? Don't you want to get good prices? It should be down. That's what you want, don't you?
No.
I don't. I want to go to a store, and then I'll wait till the sale is off. Then I'll come back. Right. That's what I do at, like, Macy's, too. No, I don't want any 50% off. Let me know. I'll put it back here. Once you raise the prices again, I'll come back and get it. Okay? But we do that all the time with stocks, and we think it's logical. Well, but... And then we listen to the talking heads who didn't predict anything. I just tell you why the market just did something. Here's why stocks today did this. Oh, wow. I think that'll happen tomorrow, too. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Anyway, we make it too hard. I got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, I really appreciate you all tuning in today and coming over to the FM side if you are listening. And for those of you who are catching us on podcast, and those of you who haven't before, go to petsofinancial.com. P-E-T-S-O, petsofinancial.com. We also have calculators and articles to help you with your financial planning. You know, it is a world of bad news. It really is, dominated by bad news. And we're living in a really tough time. Our cities are burning. Everything is so woke and political, it's challenging. It really is. But the pendulum does swing. And I still believe in us dummies in flyover country. Us basket of deplorables, if you will. The people that really make this country work. And so does the market. Money's flowing into the market. And sometimes when you read the headlines, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't. It's hard not to be emotional. And our money is security as well. Financial security is one of those things. Ranks right up there with physical security. And so we get scared easily. We do. And we can't be driven out by constant drumbeats, especially political ones, because politics is not the economy. It's not. And businesses should not be counted out. See, even in places that are very bad, and may have made very bad business decisions for their economies, the politicians have, like Europe, there still are businesses there that are profitable. Obama tried very hard to destroy American business. They adjusted. All the regulations, all the shutdowns, they adjusted. Yeah, energy prices were way too high for too many years, that's for sure. That's absolutely for sure. But we didn't go to zero in growth. We kept coming back. Because business adjusts. And don't forget that. We're adjusting now to the coronavirus. We're adjusting to the reality of it. It's noisy. It's hard. And I don't know where we're going to exactly be. I don't think this election's over either, and I think the market's telling you that. The Republicans should be nervous. Something's wrong. The polls are way too weird. And Trump really needs to figure out if he wants another 4 years. Because he's not acting anything but the president of chaos. And I don't think I'm alone at all. The people are tired of the chaos in this country. They are. And they'll vote for not having that, even a guy that can't put a sentence together and doesn't know what state his basement is in. So we are worried, but it's not over, and the market's not is certainly telling you it's not over at all. So don't think we have it figured out. Don't think you have. Let's always remember together, really. What we know isn't worth knowing when it comes to the market. It's priced in. And when we forget that it's priced in, we can pay too much and too little very easily. We can be scared out, and we can be put into products that don't even allow you the liquidity of changing your mind. Don't do that. Lots of options out there. And don't make an all or none decision about your investments. That's being emotional. That's not being thoughtful. I hope you all have a great weekend and a happy 4th of July, and I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.